Well, actually, I'll just tell a story. So there was this young couple that were trying to have a child, and it just wasn't happening. And then all of a sudden, you know, boom, you know, she's pregnant, and everybody's happy because, you know, life is coming. And this child was born, and automatically it was posing to be a challenge for the mother. And it was inconsolable. It would cry. And the young mother was told, you know, when you take that baby out of its cradle board, make sure that lace stays with that cradle board. And that was just something that the woman was supposed to do. And this child kept, you know, wearing her down, and, you know, because it would cry, and she'd wake in the middle of the night, try to feed it and console it, and it just wasn't happening. And one night it was crying, you know, all through the night, and she woke up, and, you know, in her tired state, she pulls the cradle board across her lap like that, and her husband is sleeping next, or trying to, and, you know, she's pulling this infant out of its cradle board, and in her haste and, you know, tired mentality, she pulled the lace off like that and set it down, and then she put the baby on her lap. Mm-hmm. And right there in front of her, her baby kind of wriggled loose from the swaddling of the hide that it was in, and it rolled over and it jumped up on all fours, and its hands became little black hooves, the snout popped out, and ears and fur all over its body. And she was sitting there looking at a baby deer, and she's like, whoa. And so she reaches over to tap her husband like that, and that startled that deer, and it bounced towards the door. And her husband sits up, and the two of them watch as that deer goes out the door. They rush out and they throw the door open, and that deer kind of bounces like that and takes off into flight. And after that, the people found that the deer were nowhere to be found. And they would see flocks of deer kind of flying over like that, herds of deer flying over. And they would long for that meat because, you know, there were no deer to be found on the ground. And so they were starting to waste away. They were getting really skinny, and they were worried about their survival. And one day they heard howling, and they look up and they see wolves up there on the ridgelines like that. And those wolves, they come down and they sit around the fire like that, and they howl again. And everybody kind of gathers around these wolves. And there were five of them. They were all brothers. And these wolves speak to the people and they say, we can bring those deer back to you, but you have to let us do what we need to do. And so the people, not having a better option, they say, do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so those five brothers, they disband like that, and each one of them goes to a different ridge line. And the herd of deer are flying over like that, and one of them gets tired, and it kind of, you know, goes down and it alights on a ridge line. And one of those wolf brothers emerges and, you know, like that, snarls at it, shows its fangs, and that deer jumps to the next ridge line. And same thing, you know, another wolf comes out and snarls at it and bares its fangs and startles the deer to another ridgeline. And it goes back and forth like that all along those ridgelines until eventually it stops. And it's just worn out. And the youngest wolf brother comes out. And before that wolf even snarls, that deer just simply says, okay, I understand. I'll go with you. But let me retain the ability to jump so that the people know that there was a time when there weren't deer on their campfires. And so that wolf howls like that, and all the, you know, its four brothers converge, and they kill and they eat that deer, and they're all bloody, and they walk back down to the campfire and they howl again, and all the people gather. And all of the people are looking at these bloody wolves, and these wolves, they say, the deer promise that they'll come back to you and they'll never take flight again. But they ask that they retain the ability to jump so that you remember how important they are in your livelihood. And so after that, those wolves howl and they take off like that. So what does that mean? that means that there's a relationship between wolves and ungulates that's demonstrated in how the story is told and the role that wolves play in pulling out those weaker animals. Because a wolf is actually trailing the sick animal or the weaker animal. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they pull that away. And what they leave behind is better meat for the people to choose from. Mm.
Yeah.
When a hunter goes out and they kill an elk and they gut, they're leaving that gut pile as an offering. Or at least that's the mentality that they're supposed to leave that gut pile behind. This is for everything else that counts on these deer or these mountain sheep. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking the rest. It's not just, you know, oh, I don't need the guts. And see, that's, again, there's a difference in the way that a cultural Nez Perce is looking at that act and what an outsider is doing when they gut.
Yeah. That's really profound.
I don't think, see, That's why narratives are so powerful in influencing the perspective of acts that people are committing. And your typical American doesn't have a narrative like that.
Right.
What they have is Little Red Riding Hood.
Mm-hmm.
What they have is the three little pigs. That's what a wolf means to them.
Mm-hmm.
Along with, you know, the livelihood that a rancher is deriving from their relationship with livestock. I mean, that's a big challenge to confront.
Yeah.